Yeah.
I'll call a meeting to order. Let the record reflect that all members of the committee are present. We'll take up today House Bill 190, an act relating to municipal air pollution control programs and providing for an effective date. Is there anyone who would like to be heard on this bill? Anyone who'd like to, Larry? Want to come forward?
Yes, Madam Chairman.
Why don't you come sit here and give us a good word?
My name is Larry Venable.
Come sit up here, Larry, if you will, that way we can all see you.
Yeah, I get to sit next to you.
Yeah. Side benefits to this business.
Just drag your last name.
My name is Larry Venable, and I am the representative for the Alaska Carriers Association. And dealing with a number of course trucking operations as well in a number of areas. We, in my former capacity as general manager, I had attended a number of hearings in regard to the municipality, both the Kenai Borough and on the Anchorage Borough, in an attempt to work out some air pollution control problems. And we worked this with the Associated General Contractors, with Mr. Dunham, the manager of the Dump Truckers Association here, has worked with it, and of course, I believe the petroleum industry and others are affected in some of these problems. The feeling was to comply. We recognize there are some problems. For example, it was wording that if you had something right next door to your adjacent property, somebody could sue you, and this was on any other adjacent property, in other words, in your own residence, let's say. Let's say this was not an industrial installation, but and I use this as what has happened in hours and of meetings on this, and trying of people of goodwill trying to work this thing out. So I cannot testify or make the statement for these other representatives because I know they have some input on this, but I would like to express the caution, if I could be so presumptuous, to the committee that this is into an area that has some statewide impacts. We discussed this at noise pollution as another example too, because how do you regulate the whole state impact? And let me use this now on House Bill 190, the relationship of the entire problem of air pollution. Let's say that General Motors builds a truck of one kind, and yet we have the community of Glen Allen or Palmer or somewhere else that does not comply with the air pollution standards. And therefore, we have to build an entire truck to comply, or we are grounded. We cannot operate our services going through the community, going between Anchorage to Fairbanks, for example. Now, what I am saying on this, that it is our sincere feeling that the air pollution control should be a matter by state statute, and it should be a matter not of getting into little splintered problems of one community, one area, until you get a mass of local enforcements. And so we are expressing our concern that this be viewed as a state problem, and that the legislation be looked from the broader outlook from it, rather than applying to the specific municipality. I believe, Madam Chairman, this covers our feeling.
Thank you. Other questions?
Are you saying you're for this bill?
The bill itself, as we read this, and as I can see of expediting it, a 45 days decision, I would say no, that I don't feel that there's anything to gain by this bill at this time. No, sir.
Why do you think, Mr. Venable, this bill pertains to this one municipality over, say, several others?
Again, represents Snyder.
Why do you think this bill directs itself to just one municipality rather than others?
Well, if I go back again, this municipality taking 45 days, I think probably if we had to oppose it, then we would question it this way, because we have been through these hearings time after time, week after week, questioned each regulation, and if the law is forcing into 45 days, it's going to result with bad decisions and bad enforcement.
Any other questions? It seems to me 45 days notice, conduct a hearing. Do you see that it's really tightening it up more than the present law? I see it as not tightening it up, but just simply requiring that the department give written notice setting out its reasons. The 45 days is in the original law. See, we're deleting the following 45 days there. So I see it as simply specifying that the notice should be written and that it should set out the reasons, rather than really changing the requirement that a hearing be held within 45 days. Are there further questions? Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Dick, did you want to testify on the bill?
Very briefly.
Could you identify yourself for our recorder, please?
Madam Chairman, committee, my name is Dick Dunham. I represent the Alaska Dump Truckers Association. And I want to expand our function a little bit more than the dump trucker implies. We operate also a great deal of heavy construction equipment. Our problem is not with the bill in itself, but one that I just don't think it goes far enough. We're all for an air and noise pollution regulations in municipalities. But our feeling is that it should be a state issue rather than a municipality issue, and that the regulations dealing with noise and air should vary by community, where we would operate our equipment in Kenai, for instance. Possibly we would be illegal in Fairbanks, or where we were legal in Fairbanks, we might be illegal in Anchorage. Our feeling is that the bill should be that the air and noise pollution should be set by state standards to follow a general pattern, so that operators of heavy equipment could without doubt be legal by standards throughout the state. That's really all I have to say on it.
Mr. Olson?
Yes, I can see your point, but also in these local areas, many of them that are living there, residents having equipment, that the need, say, for example, in Palmer might be less than that up in Fairbanks. And up there where you have more of a problem with smog and different things, that they have to have tighter restrictions than they would in the Palmer area, for example. And how would the state set up then to the restriction that they'd have to have in Fairbanks, where, you know, I can find out and read, would be probably the heaviest. And that would have to entail all through the rest of the state, then,
I would think that minimum standards could be established at such a level that it would probably work in most municipalities throughout the state. I think we all have, if we were talking about air pollution in a wide windy flat, obviously we wouldn't have an air pollution problem, but still they should be subject to some minimum standards of some sort in case the wind ever stopped. That's probably oversimplifying, but I think that some minimum state standards could probably be established along the level that that the bill could direct itself to. And that level, I don't know, because I think an engineering firm or somebody would have to look into what would be a proper level. I have no idea what the numbers and decibels and such as that would mean, except that I believe that, that such minimum standards could be established.
Well, that's what I'm getting at, is that the minimum standards for Fairbanks would be much more stringent than what for many of the other areas. I'm assuming that's, I'm taking on what I hear on this in the wintertime when it was almost ready to close down and not have vehicles running at all because of the air pollution and such. Maybe the representative from Fairbanks could...
Well, maybe we could toss in a provision where if a situation occurred such as inverted air condition or something, maybe the municipality could have some sort of an emergency provision to take care of that.
Well, then I'd like one more to pass on. Suppose then that if it does on local option to the municipalities themselves, you'd have you're going to deliver, say, and we use Fairbanks as an example, that if you have your vehicles to meet their standards, then basically you would probably meet those standards of all the rest of the state. So I don't know what your problem really would be then.
Well, our problem is that
because the state would have, excuse me for interrupting, the state would have to have a minimum of what would comply with the needs of Fairbanks. And so it'd be stuck there anyway.
But my not being familiar with the level of air pollutants and noise pollutants and so on probably is preventing me from answering your question properly. But it would seem to me that there is some level, some median level of air and noise pollution that could be arrived at through the proper input by air pollution noise people that would allow us to arrive at some minimum level. Now, I don't know what that would be. I
there was well, I have one question on probably we can answer here on what is the Section 220B that's being appealed. But one comment of House Bill 70 that we passed out of committee before gave local communities units of revenue sharing for air pollution, for instance, to be able to give them money in one case and not give them, say, the authority to act on it in another case would seem to be in contradiction.
So. Madam Chair, I'd like to take perhaps a step further. The Alaska Advocate had an excellent article on Fairbanks air pollution, and I believe it was about their third issue. It's a very critical problem in Fairbanks, where I live, and it's probably more crucial there than any other spot in the state because of the air inversion, because of the concentration of people right in the valley where the air inversion settles down. There are different problems that contribute to the pollution. It's not just autos, it's a little bit of everything. It's people even breathing.
Yeah.
And if there's any way that we can cut down on any of it so that we don't have to worry about our children going outside to play, we'd rather not become Los Angeles. And I realize for a small firm that operates around Anchorage, there would be no need for them to have nearly the stringent regulations that we're going to have in Fairbanks. Therefore, I see many benefits to this bill for the Anchorage people. We're going to have a different situation than any place in the state. And I don't really think it's fair to the other municipalities to hold businesses and places that will have no correlation with the problem in Fairbanks to the same regulations.
Merrill, to answer your question, this is the section that's being repealed in favor of Section 2 of the bill. It's essentially the same, except that, I'll read it. This is what's being repealed. If, after the hearing, the department determines that any of the deficiencies enumerated in A of this section exist, it shall require that necessary corrective action be taken within a reasonable period of time, not to exceed 90 days. Again, I think this rewriting simply adds the provision that a written statement setting out the nature of the deficiencies and describing the necessary action to be taken is what is being added. Are there other questions of Mr. Dunham? Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to be heard on this bill? Jean, Bill, Paula, would you like to testify?
Plug it in every so often.
Madam Chair, Palmer McCarter, Director of Local Government Assistance Division. First, I'm not supposed to be testifying. This is a part, or this bill would affect Department of Environmental Conservation, and apparently no one's here from that division, for that department. Mostly, my testimony is to point out, as I read the bill, what I see might be a couple of three technical changes that might be considered. First, I think in our relationship with municipalities, this bill is basically a technical cleanup to the basic state-local relationships. It does require the department within more specified time periods and by putting out in writing their actions, which I think is desirable both from the municipality standpoint and from the state standpoint. My corrections basically are not corrections, but concerns in Section 4. I think it might be worthwhile to ask legislative affairs if they see that there's any validity to having subparagraph H there. I know typically they don't like to allow that type of language in statute, but that's just a off-the-cuff remark, and there may be good reason why that language is appropriate to have in this bill. I don't see it as serving any useful purpose, certainly if there is unlawful action on the part of a department, a certain municipality can request the Superior Court to intervene, but perhaps there is some reason. Also in Section 5, I'm a little concerned on line 18 where it talks about a municipality or district. As you know, usually by Alaska statute and the Constitution, districts are not allowed. I don't know if the intent there is to refer to district as being, for example, a combination of municipalities, if that's the case and the wording isn't important. But I don't think that there's any intent that it could be districts other than a municipality or combinations of municipalities. And that's just, again, a technical concern. District in that sense, yes. District in the sense of operating a police power, which this is a police power.
He's making it funny about power bills.
Yes.
Semi-funny. We're supposed to be subtle voice.
Again, as I say, I think in our relationship to municipalities, we would certainly support the bill. And again, just with those more or less technical concerns.
I'm just trying to see if there's any reference to districts in the present law.
210A.
A reference to noise pollution.
And of course, I don't know that whole Section 5, the way the language of the bill or the act is now. Theoretically, 5 years after 1965, there could be no new applications. And Section 5, at least if I read it correctly, acts like, makes it sound as though a municipality could now commence a program.
Might be on the definitions, defining districts.
That's possible within this section. I didn't check out the
four boroughs may establish an air pollution control program. Doesn't seem to be tied to a date.
That may be true. Then.
Other questions of Mr. McCarter?
I just sparked a thought. Why hasn't Environmental Conservation come over here?
I don't know.
You don't know?
If they were asked or not.
But it seems to me that, you know, it's affecting the department. They should have something to say.
Yeah, that's why I say technically I'm not supposed to be here testifying. They should.
But they were notified. Did they say they would send someone?
They said they would try.
I think quite
they
a
need
few
to call.
I think quite a few of them are out of town. I know they were home in the hearing of the Kodiak the other day.
I'd sure like to hear what they have to say about this.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I don't know how long we did you want to say something?
No.
I don't know how long we can wait if we've notified them at the meeting. How long we can wait.
Was it imperative that we move this out, by the way?
No. Does anyone else want to testify on the bill? Okay, I take it the sense of the committee is that you'd like to hear from somebody at Environmental Conservation before you act on the bill.
If they're available within the next day or two.
Okay.
I don't want to wait until...
Well, they should at least send a written statement
they should
over
have a position on it,
if they can, right?
Yeah.
To see.
That's true. Let's wait and make sure that we can get in touch with them. Let's take up House Bill 72, the historical districts again. Let's see, we have that, the proposed committee substitute. I have talked to Mr. Miller and Mr. Osi about the idea of adding museums in here, and the general agreement seems to be that this bill is not really directed towards dealing with museums, and I told Mr. Osi that I would be glad to introduce an appropriation for the Transportation Museum, but that I really didn't think that museums fit within the category of an historical district and within the types of loans that were being proposed under this bill. So I think that's agreeable to use it now.
Yes.
I still go back to my hang-up on the Constitution.
Okay.
The
what
thing about districts, you know, I still feel that this is a... should be called a service area or something else, because we're doing this within a municipal boundary, and I don't think the Constitution allows for this kind of a district thing.
What can you read the part of the Constitution?
Well, in the Constitutional Convention,
we're researching.
Are you researching that yet?
Okay. Well, if we just change the word to an area, I know that they didn't want to do that because we've got a nationwide historical district, but I'm sure that they would understand the district and area the same thing.
What is the wording in the Constitution, please, that there is the hang-up?
Well, it's not the wording in the Constitution. It's a lack of wording in the Constitution. There is no provision in the Constitution for districts. If this is going to be any part of a municipal body, I mean, you have service area provisions in the Constitution, but you don't have provisions there for districts. So it's actually the lack of that in the Constitution rather than the inclusion of it.
Gee.
It just doesn't sound like a historical service area.
Well, if you call it a service area, you're really in trouble, because that's an entirely different concept.
How about just an area? Is there any problem with that?
Other than the fact that boroughs have area and non-area white power, so you'd have that, you'd be tied to language. I don't know what else you can do. I don't see the problem.
See, this is... This is not a something set up for taxing purposes like service areas at all. Mm-hmm. It's not really a creature of the municipality from the point of view of any municipal services or any municipal obligations from that area to the municipality. It's simply a creature of the municipality in that we want to leave the local control in there. We want to leave it controlled by the municipality to exactly what kind of district would be set up.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you find out.
I don't see district being a problem with the historical, other bill that you just had. I see a problem there because it would be a police power that they're operating.
Mm.
Okay, we've amended on page 3 to include 6.25%, right?
Six
other than
half.
That, are there any other comments or amendments that you would like to propose?
Wasn't it 6.5%?
6.5? Did we make it 6.5? Sorry.
Randy, did you?
Yeah. 6.5. 6.5.
could call it region.
Well, regions aren't called for in the Constitution either.
Once again, Madam Chair, on page 3, line 12, that one paragraph, did we determine about the... Did we adopt an amendment
cutting out the last...
I don't think we did.
I think we decided maybe it was necessary because with the period at the end of functions, it's more restrictive than... more wide open than it is...
Well, here we have another regulatory agency popping up, and I don't understand why we need regulations to approve a plan.
Sometimes there's a misconception about regulations leading to regulatory agencies. It's not a regulation. Just because you have regulations in your department doesn't mean you're regulating a function. A regulation is simply an extension of the law to deal with all of the details that the law should not or did not deal with, and it doesn't mean you're setting up a regulatory agency. Right. A regulation is simply a way of carrying out, implementing a law, setting rules for implementing laws.
Are we talking about internal regulations then, interdepartmental regulations?
Departmental regulations is what I understand that to say.
Approval by the historical committee.
Can't we include departmental in front of the word regulation?
We could if you want, right. But I don't.
Well, I've got this concern about setting up these districts, in which, you know, under the way I interpret this law, that they could come in and tell property owners, you know, when they can sell, when they can't sell, what they can build, what they can't build. In this historical district, and I'm somewhat concerned about that. And I'm not talking about just the old home, but I'm talking about everything in this district. See?
I think maybe if we said including regulations for the process of plan approval, how about that? In other words, we're not talking about the substance of the plan approval, but for the process.
Okay. Yes, I can go with that.
You want to move?
I'll still move, yeah.
How was that again?
It would read, including regulations for the process of plan approval.
By the committee.
Is there discussion on the amendment?
This one for verification, including regulations for the process?
For the process of plan approval.
What is a plan approval? Plan approval, now that's just for the...
Well, the plan would be promulgated by the municipality and the department. And the Historic Sites Advisory Committee would approve it.
I'm still thinking of what Tim had in his, he was wary of, which I think is a good point. But I don't see how that would rectify his concern.
Well, it simply limits the regulations to the process of the approval rather than the substance of the plan.
You mean the process of the loan?
No, process of the plan approval. I was going to ask a question, Madam Chair. I feel that somehow either I'm getting off the track or we're getting off the track. Is this not for loans for places within a district where there are historic areas to be improved and so on? It's not necessarily the buying and selling of this property by the historical district.
That's true.
It's for individuals.
That's true, but within the boundaries of this district, you're going to have, you know, several structures that have no historical significance whatsoever, and I don't want any regulations being established that would prohibit the use of these structures. You know, that's all it comes down to.
Like yourself.
And they've got the last word anyway, I hope.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I can't imagine a local planning, zoning, or anything stating that all buildings within this area have to apply for a loan to build or renovate a building to conform with a overall plan. It's just not going to happen. What this bill does is provide loans for the people in that area that wish to.
Well, we're not talking about the loans.
Bill, you know, I like the idea of the bill, but I have a problem with its mechanics. I'd really like to know if we could send this to Fairbanks and Anchorage and attorneys or assemblies up there and get some comments back.
Well, we've heard from Anchorage, of course. We've heard from the mayor and from the head of the historic, whatever it is, Landmarks Commission or whatever.
And they don't have any problem with the mechanics.
They like the concept of the bill.
It's in your.
I know. I saw it.
And it's been, you know, sent again to all the municipalities on our mailing list that we were dealing with it. And Anchorage is the only place we've heard from.
I get no objection to that process.
Let's deal with this amendment, including regulations for the process of plan approval by the committee. Is there any more discussion on that amendment?
Would, Mr. Chairman, if we went back along with this amendment to the first one, in which there's two or more structures, that's the one that's just a, why would this be a structure? I was thinking just like in Juneau here, where they have many old buildings, you have one here, and I think there's one right in the middle. You'd have to include two. Why couldn't it just be one? Why does that be two? Do you know that?
Because it's hard to make a district out of one building.
Yes,
probably.
Yeah.
It's the basic concept of the bill, as I understand it, is for districts rather than for single buildings. There are other methods available for getting money for renovating single buildings. I'm not sure that they're state methods. I think they're national. But, you know, as Mr. Miller said in his testimony, he would be very glad to entertain the idea of state loans for single buildings, but his concept in this bill was to deal with areas rather than single buildings. And that's simply the way the bill, you know, was conceived.
Well, the reason I say yes, that would certainly alleviate what Tim is concerned about, area, that it would just be that specific. And it could still be nothing saying they couldn't go on to two or more. One or more,
yeah.
Instead of two or more.
That's right. Are you ready to vote on the amendment? All those in favor? All opposed? The amendment carries. Tim?
I've got one more problem, and that's on page 3, line 19. State participation in all loans in the aggregate for any one historical district qualifying under this chapter may not exceed $1,500,000. That, in my mind, is fine if it pertains to each municipality, but a municipality like Juneau, for example, could probably come up with 8 or 10 historical districts. And that's a pretty open figure there, $1,500,000, I think. There's nothing prohibiting them from coming up with more than one historical district. You have one downtown, you probably have one up on the hill. No doubt you have some up here on the old gold mine, probably qualified. There's any, I think we should have some limitation on the number of historical districts a municipality or a borough can establish.
How about language to the effect that historical districts proposed that are contiguous to each other should be considered one historical district or something like that? I don't think I favor the idea of limiting the number of historical districts in a municipality because there may be a lot of worthy historical areas in a town, and putting an arbitrary limit on the number of areas that you're going to allow seems unrealistic to me.
Plus, I think the competition for this money will limit wholesale planning.
Competition? Well, there's no competition. There's no limit to the money. Where's the competition?
Okay. We draw it in.
Well, what does the meaning of part two then? It says not exceed $100,000.
For any one building or structure. In other words, you can get up to 15 buildings or structures in one historical district and But in order to use the 1,000,005, you have to use 15 buildings. That seems to answer your problem more than any other. Because if you've only got two buildings, then you're only qualifying for $200,000 anyway.
I don't know, Bill, because I still maintain that the first thing you do is establish, and we're using juvenile control here, the first thing you do is establish a historical district down the lower end, which they want to do anyway. And they can come up with 15 buildings down there, no problem at all. And then and you can establish one up here on the hill. You know, and no doubt you can establish one in Douglas somewhere. And I think that, you know, if they want to go to that extent, I would like to see that, you know, the municipality itself be considered a historical district. So that you're limited to 1,000,005 within the limits of the borough or the municipality, as opposed to these numerous little historical districts you're going to come up with. Because I just see an open-ended loan program here. And again, you know, I've never been told where the money's coming from, other than, you know, well, it's commissioner at his discretion, you know, if we have money in the budget, but we're not supposed to have any money left over. You're supposed to have X number of income, and you're supposed to have X number of outgo, and if you're lucky,
well, of course, the money keeps turning over. It's a loan, so you keep turning over. You only have a certain amount of money out of the general fund at any one time, because the money keeps coming back
in. 30-year amortization doesn't turn over too quick.
Are there other concerns about the bill? Questions? Comments?
Yes, I
have.
Well, the only thing is that here we keep the district refers to two or more structures.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get back to this one that says the state says the loan for restoration is not one building a structure.
Yeah, shall not exceed $100,000. In other words, if you've got two buildings that and they both apply for loans and they're both okay, then you're loaning $200,000 in that district.
We keep using the word district and all the rest of it, and here we omit it. That's what you think is confusing, right? You know, since it's kind of a sad first, you know, I think district should be included in that paragraph, shouldn't
it? Or structure within the district.
It wouldn't hurt to add it. It certainly wouldn't hurt to add it. Chris.
I find out how everybody feels, but I still have that hang up about districts, so I'd like to move to amend this bill with an area where it says district re-entered area. And,
historical, creation of historical area commissions, right, and so on. Okay. You made that a motion.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a discussion on the motion?
Well, excuse me. What did you check and see if it was legal?
Is there any intention that we were going to move this bill out today or something?
Well, I was hoping to, but that's,
I feel pretty strongly about it. This thing's what I feel that strongly about. I feel I'm going to move it anyway.
Well, certainly. I thought it worked. Excuse me.
I just don't. I don't share your problem with it. I like the word district. It doesn't have any legal implication as far as taxing or forcing anybody to do anything. So I think we could leave it.
I think, well, my argument on the other side of that is I think as time goes on and we see these districts created, we may see them turning into more than what they are. And I think really we ought to call them what they should be, providing a service in an area, a service for historical kind of sites type thing. Even though we're not talking about a taxing entity, we're talking one that has the ability to be able to have loans and this kind of thing and promote the historical sites in a particular area or buildings. So I think it should be identified correctly. I think it's an area rather than a district.
Is there more discussion?
Yes. With the district, that to me is more confined. You think of area. I just think of, you know, unlimited boundaries where that I think it'd be easier expanded. And that's the reason I like districts better. It's when you think of something more in a specific, you
Well,
an area is just a broad term.
I realize that, but
there again, I go back to the conformity with some of the things that were mentioned in the Constitution, but nonetheless, in an area, you can still say an area is a block. And what you're looking at here is two or more buildings. And it could be 10 buildings. It could be a whole area for downtown Unum that would be a historic area. So,
well, area wouldn't tell that either.
Before or after the Capitol Woods.
Could even include more. I don't know.
I'm concerned with your arguments, Chris, because I don't really have a just preference between district and area. I kind of tend to prefer district, but when you say that you're interested in bringing more into conformity with the Constitution and more into conformity with the idea of service areas, that really concerns me, because this is not at all the concept of a service area. This is something completely different from a service area. I think it's dangerous, if that's your argument for changing the word to area, I think it's very dangerous for us to do so. Because of the way the bill is set up, there's no relationship whatsoever between service area and what this is. The service area is set up to provide municipal services in a certain area, for which in return that area is going to be taxed. And there's no relationship between that and what this bill intends to set up. So I think I would be in favor of retaining the word district. Is there more comment on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment, raise your hands. All those opposed, the amendment fails.
Madam Chair, I move we move the House Bill 72 out of committee as amended, with individual recommendations.
Is there discussion on the motion? All those in favor of the motion? All opposed? I think the bill moves out. We will get the Department of Environmental Conservation here by willy-nilly. We will lure them here with promises of dancing girls or something, so that we can get the love.
I assume.
Okay, I'll call the meeting to order. I'm just glancing through the stuff. Let the record reflect that Representatives Phillips, Smith, Snyder, Kelly, Levine, and Rudd are present. This morning we're to take up House Bill 116, and that's an act relating to the classification of state land, and House Bill 190, an act relating to municipal air pollution control programs. I think we'll take first House Bill 116. Mr. Conhetti, are you here on 116?
Yes.
Would you like to testify? Do you want to testify on the bill?
I just came over with a message that the department will be opposing the bill.
Will be opposing the bill.
And unfortunately, Ted Smith was unable to attend this morning.
Do you know on what basis, or anything?
Basically, on that letter that Ted sent to you on February
14th.
Okay. So I have.
Do you have a copy of it?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But they, we will be.
It's pretty serious. The state forest.
The state park. No, Stephen, what else is it?
Parks.
No,
he
isn't. Just gave me the title, state forest.
Yeah, something else.
Members.
Yeah.
And go ahead and make copies of the statutes, too, it's behind there.
This is other capacity. He's forester. And what else?
Director of the Division of Land and Water Management. But we will be submitting written. A written memorandum explaining our position.
How soon?
Before the end of the week.
We announced last week that we would be hearing this bill today. That's what's disturbing me. Yeah. Okay, let's set that aside for the moment. Let's go on to House Bill 190, an act relating to municipal air pollution control programs. Mr. Hanna is here from the Department of Environmental Conservation. Would you step forward and sit here, Mr. Hanna, and tell us your name?
and your affiliation for the record, and then tell us what you want about the bill.
Chairperson Rudd and members of the committee, I'm Tom Hanna. I work with the Department of Environmental Conservation as supervisor of the State Air Quality Control Program. As such, I've been in this capacity for the last 5 years, which spans most of the development of the state and local programs in Alaska. As far as our review of House Bill 190 is concerned, we haven't completed it, but as we see the contents right now, that we have no objections to any of the portions. As we understand it, the bill would require that we make rather early evaluation of the two local air pollution control programs in the state, one in Fairbanks, the other one existing in the Anchorage and Kenai areas. We have no problems with this concept. We think it's a good management procedure to go through. We do see some potential problems as far as the impact on the local programs are concerned. And in this regard, we have met last week with the Commission of Cook Inlet Air Resources Management District to go on over some of the things that we see that they might want to come in and modify. But we feel that it's their position to request modifications in these areas if they wish to see it. In general, I'd be willing to answer any questions you might have, but we see no problems with it.
What's something that I'm apparently not familiar with? What's the Cook Inlet Air Resources Management District or whatever you're talking about?
It's an intergovernmental program which covers the Kenai Peninsula Borough and the Anchorage Municipality. It was set up back in 1968 as to control the air pollution in the Cook Inlet. And at that time, the Matanuska Susitna Borough was in it as well. Matanuska Susitna Borough subsequently pulled out, leaving just these two areas. But what they do is monitor for the air quality in the area. They have quite a few instruments out. They enforce visible emission regulations. And in general, they look after proposed planning changes in some of the transportation-related plans which are going
through. Are they funded by the state?
They were partially funded until last year, and when that state revenue sharing, when the state matching for local programs went out. They do get $2 per capita revenue sharing money from the state.
Where does the money from the state go?
It goes to the general fund of the Kenai Borough, the Anchorage Municipality, the Fairbanks, not to the Cook Inlet. Cook Inlet gets all of their revenues from and their administrative support from the two boroughs. So really, they're set up to do all of the air quality administrative portions in enforcement. They're kind of contracted into doing the typical type services.
Are there questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Stick around.
Okay.
Is there discussion on the bill? No?
I think we might just call him at ease for a few minutes. I'm sure Hugh is on his way. And,
he
explained the bill to me, but I'd better be going to it.
Meanwhile, why don't I ask Judith to pass out to you the letter I got from Ted Smith on 116. Basically, what he says is that, to his understanding, AS 3805-300 gives the department the authority already to classify state lands. And there are copies of 3805-300 and also copies of the other statute that he cited, 4120-355, which pertains to grants for the establishment of trails and footpaths. I don't know, give you a minute to look at that and then talk about it. Thank you.
reason I put this bill in was not as Ted Smith assumed or understood, to bring pressure on municipalities to accomplish recreational trail designation within their boundaries. As a matter of fact, the municipality is in the process of doing exactly that right now, and they're just about ready to pass their comprehensive trail plan. The reason I introduced the bill was to empower the commissioner to authorize, to classify state land appropriate for recreational use as recreational trails land, and to make it clear that that classification on his part should be in conjunction with and in accordance with municipal classifications, and should be done after a municipality or in accordance with a municipal's comprehensive plan. The statute he cites says that the director shall make preliminary classification for surface use of all lands and areas where he considers it necessary and proper for future development, and he's quite right. I think that reads that he could go ahead and designate recreational trails land. The purpose of my bill is to authorize him specifically to do that within municipalities, and also to bring his authorization under the jurisdiction of the municipal, comprehensive municipal plan. So I'm not convinced that the statute he cites, 3805-300, is necessary to achieve the purpose that for which I introduced the bill, and that was to bring it within the jurisdiction of the municipal plan and to make it very clear that he has that authority to designate recreational trails across state lands in municipalities. So I guess we're going to hear from the department further on this week, tomorrow or the next day, and we'll hold the bill until then. Meanwhile, let's see if we can wait.
Madam Chairman, may I just comment on that? Yeah. This is a problem in all committees these days.
That's right.
You have a bill up, it's got 3 weeks' notice. They walk in and say, I've never heard of the bill, or I'm sorry, we can't be there this week because we're out of town.
Right.
And sooner or later, we're just going to have to start acting on it.
That's right. I'm willing to wait till the end of the week, but beyond that, I'm not willing to wait because they have had plenty of notice.
It's your bill. I just sooner pass it off today.
Any information from my municipality, anyway, I won't act on this bill, but these are the ones I am pretty scared of. Into this type of thing, and
you're scared of the bill?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't know yet. I want to study it out and get checked with my.
Well, we'll wait to hear from the department. So long as
anytime I start giving it the authority, that resource department.
We'll wait till Friday anyway to hear from the department. Meanwhile, I think Hugh's coming over.
He called this morning.
Said he would be here. So if you all don't mind, just. We'll be at ease for a few minutes while we wait. And we'll take up House Bill 190, an act relating to municipal air pollution control programs. Mr. Hanna from the DEC testified in favor of the bill, Hugh. So anything that you, any light you can shed would be fine too.
Well, basically, the legislation is designed to clarify. Improve the process whereby the department can approve of a local air pollution control program. And the legislation comes from difficulties expressed to me by the people in the Cook Inlet Air Resources Management Program in understanding just where they stand with the department. And so the idea is to set out pretty clearly how the rules are going to be applied, what sort of time schedules apply, and also to provide for the court to act as an arbiter if necessary in the situation. That's about all there is to the bill. Try to answer any questions anyone might have.
Chairman, on line 18, did we delete by amendment the words or district, or were we just discussing that? I don't remember. I was only
18 on the second page?
On the second page, yeah, sorry.
I don't have a note to that effect.
I've got it circled and said delete, but so it's Tim, but I think we just discussed it.
Yeah, I think we did too. Does that refer to a district such as the Cook Inlet?
My understanding is that it does. I don't, if it's not the proper description, it could be. But as my understanding is, you get at least one case there, you have a air pollution control district or management area that covers more than one municipality.
What was the reason for deleting it? I've forgotten.
Well, because we didn't know what district meant.
Maybe we should, instead of deleting it, we should insert air pollution control before district.
That might be better.
To which?
The
department shall review applications for approval of an air pollution control program submitted by a municipality or an air pollution control district.
Air pollution control.
But what is an air pollution control district? This only relates to municipal air pollution control programs. Well, in one case, Madam Chair.
Certainly.
In one case there, you've got two boroughs, the Anchorage Borough and the Kenai Borough, cooperating in an air pollution control district. We used to have three boroughs in it, and that suit pulled out. And so it covers more than just one municipality. It's a separate setup as an independent existence. Well, not independent, but it's established by ordinances adopted by the two municipalities.
Do you know the reason that Matsu withdrew from the tri? I understand this was a tri district.
Well, I suppose they can comment on it better than I could.
If we're talking about air pollution control districts in the final section, did you mean it to apply to the whole bill to apply also to air pollution control? The title is relating to municipal air pollution control, and the first section refers to a municipality. They all refer to a municipality without referring to districts. Did you mean it to include districts also, maybe? Mr. Hanna, did you want to?
I could comment.
The sections 1 and 2 just talk about municipalities. Which I think cites existing law. I don't know if it's a problem or not. I would presume that the law would apply that if there were a district that were created by a number of municipalities acting together, the law would apply, but I don't know. Maybe something that's
good. Did you want it to apply to districts as well as to municipalities? Was that
intention?
You
know, since the case in point was a district involving more than one municipality, yes. But I don't know what it's necessary to put in the bill to do that.
If we do amend line 18, then we should also amend line 4 on the second page. I think that's only two references.
And 29. Page 1.
Okay.
And also 6.
Are we establishing these air pollution control districts, or are we just allowing them to? None of those. They're already in the law. All this does is, the idea is to clarify the procedure as to how the rules are going to be set up and as to how the department's going to approve of the program.
see whether... Seems that the present law talks only about municipalities in 220A, and then it talks about both municipalities and districts in 220C, and so on. And I don't really understand the reason for the difference, but that's the way it is in present law.
So it's unnecessary to amend.
Well, if the present law is sufficient, Mr. Hanna, can you shed any light on this?
My understanding, Palmer McCarter from Community Community Affairs commented yesterday, and in talking to him, he objected to the word district only because of its implications that the special districts within municipalities are illegal. But the Cook and the district is really a mutual program. It doesn't fall under that same illegal definition of district. And he was just suggesting maybe deleting the word and having intermunicipal programs, something along that line, which is really what the Cook Inlet is, because they get the ordinances directly approved by each borough.
He was thinking of a district being intra-borough or within the borough, not intra.
Inter? Okay. I may have misunderstood him. I believe he was concerned about having a separate governmental entity set up, which the Cook Inlet really isn't.
Yeah. The two sections that set up, empower districts to be set up, according to the references in the law, are one, a municipality with a population of in excess of 1,000 may within 5 years, from August 5th, 1969, establish a minister within its jurisdiction an air pollution control program. Organized boroughs may establish an air pollution control program on an area-wide basis, and the exercise of powers with respect to the program is not subject to the restrictions on acquiring additional area-wide powers specified in ASON. However, the weighted vote shall apply to the exercise of powers as provided. And then D says, if the department finds that the location, character, or extent of particular concentrations of population, air contaminant sources, the geographic, topographic, or meteorological considerations, or a combination of these factors make impracticable the maintenance of appropriate levels of air quality without an area-wide air pollution control program, the department may determine the boundaries within which a program is necessary and direct that a program spanning those boundaries is the only acceptable alternative to direct state administration. So that seems to apply to larger than a borough rather than within a borough. So that's... And if we want to track on the present law, then we would leave the word district in where it's in and not put it in where it's not in. Is there any discussion on that or any other points in law in the bill? Sally.
Madam Chair, on page 2, lines 14 through 17, or through 16, there was apparently some question as to whether this was appropriate. Maybe we could go into that a little further.
Yeah. I think Palmer raised that, did he? He said that in general, you might want to respond to that, Hugh. He said that in general, legislative affairs tries to keep that kind of language out of the laws, that anyone has the right to go to court, and there's not much point in putting it into the law. Otherwise, it would be in every law.
Well,
is that generally what he said?
Well, I think, you know, I asked him specifically to include that language in the legislation. In fact, if you want to boil the bill down to Section 4, I could live with it. But, regret that is probably most interesting.
I don't have any objection to leaving it in there. Is anyone else?
I don't, because it's common practice. So.
Apparently, it's not common practice to put it in the law. But
no, evidently, according to Paul, it isn't anyway,
perhaps,
but I don't have any
be.
Objection. Is there further discussion on the bill, Earl?
No, unless somebody else wants. I'd like to move, we.
Maybe we'll let Mr. Hannon
make it. Well, if I could just make one comment on
sure.
The cook and let commission probably will be back with you. The area which they are concerned about is that if you read Section 210, it says that local programs must be established by within 5 years after 1969. That is really an inconsistency with the proposed amendments, because none have been actually approved. And there are some changes necessary, at least in the Cook Inlet regulations, which we're discussing with them. So they may wish to modify Section 210 as well to allow an additional time period.
Well, they could, we could, in other words, they would ask for an amendment to this bill.
Yes. Yeah.
That would be fine. I don't have any objection to entertaining that as a separate bill, but I think we'd like to act on this one and not wait for what they're going to come bring to us.
Well, I don't, you know, if you want to, you know, wait and pending the testimony from the Cook Inlet Air Resources Air Management Board, it's fine with me. Maybe his comments will take.
Well, I must have missed what you said in your testimony. Were you, not you, but Mr. Hannon, did you say that they wanted to come and bring us an amendment?
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
They're reviewing it right now. I talked to them yesterday about it, and they intend to be getting back through their legislators or through us. But as far as we see, we have no problem. No problems with the bill itself.
What's the pleasure of the committee? Tim?
Well, I was going to move the bill out. However, if the sponsor does feel that we should hold it, I, again, have no objections.
Yeah, I'd like to get the comments of the Cook Inlet Pollution Group on.
Okay.
I have
okay. Let's wait.
Then. I don't really have any objection to the bill either, but probably
it's not a rush item. It
goes
well,
from here to rules.
It's been kicking around for a number of years or so.
Three more days
won't
make a difference.
Choke to death.
How soon do you think you could have the information from them?
Oh, this week. Is that high?
As soon as you get it, would you urge them to get it to us as quickly as possible, and then as soon as you get it, give the Jews a call and tell us when you're ready to go with it, and we'll take the bill up at that time.
Okay.
Thanks very much, y'all. The meeting is adjourned.